As the coronavirus ravages the MLB, the Yankees continue their dominance, Ohio's starting pitching sets records, and Joe Kelly stirred up a world of controversy. I'm Ben C. Gisser, and this is... World of Baseball. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 43 of the World of Baseball podcast. A little context on that introduction. Those are my friends who I am quarantining with in Jerusalem, Israel. They are on the same gap year program as me, and they wanted to make World of Baseball sound international. So they were on the episode, they were on the introduction, saying World of Baseball in, I believe, Vietnamese, Turkish, Chinese, and French. I'm not entirely sure. Do not call me on that. And that is why you heard World of Baseball in four different languages before I said it. No, they will not be guests on this episode. I will be talking this episode by myself. As you guys all know, I haven't made an episode in the last 3 weeks or so. That has been because I have moved across the world to Israel for this next year or so, and that has been a crazy time. There's been so much going on that I haven't really gotten a chance to make an episode of the podcast, but now I'm a little more settled. I'm making one this week, and I hope to make one every week in the future, in the foreseeable future, that is. So hopefully we'll be able to do that. Thank you guys for sticking with the podcast. Let's jump right into this episode. There's a lot to talk about in the MLB, but before we jump right in, you guys can all sign up for the mailing list. It was a tremendous turnout the first time we set up the mailing list. Over 500 people signed up for the mailing list. You get an email every time there is a new episode that comes out. People on the mailing list who are listening to this might have found out about this episode through the mailing list, which is really awesome. Please sign up to the mailing list. It's very easy. Go to the website linked in the podcast description, and it's a drop-down menu that pops out from the top right when you go on the website. Just put your email in, and you will be added to the World of Baseball podcast mailing list. It's an awesome thing to join. I hope you guys all join that. Let's jump right into this episode. So obviously, the MLB season is going on, and there's been coronavirus problems. We see in other leagues what they have done. The NHL and the NBA notably have made bubbles where all the players are quarantined in this certain area, and they're allowed to go and be free with each other because they're in this bubble. The MLB isn't like that. Players are going home. They're traveling on airplanes. They're traveling to different cities. And because of that, obviously, because of the logistics of the MLB, it makes it very hard to do a bubble. And coronavirus has spread. In fact, the Miami Marlins got a lot of coronavirus. I believe it was like 21 confirmed cases. We saw confirmed cases in Philadelphia. And the Marlins actually had to cancel a week of their season to make sure guys weren't continuing to test positive. Everyone was tested, and they have resumed again. Everyone was freaking out about this. Oh, they're going to cancel this season. Oh, what's going to happen with baseball? Look, it's another time where baseball is being logistically challenged and proving that they're unfit to be a prime league in America right now because it's badly run. And I agree, baseball is badly run. Rob Manfred did not do a good job of setting this up. It was the whole debacle with getting the season started. And now once it's started, you have a coronavirus problem. That's not the media that the MLB needs right now. And it obviously sucks. But we knew this was going to happen with the MLB. There's a reason they opened 60-man rosters for the season. There's a reason that entire minor league rosters are made available to the major league team, because the chances were that players were going to get coronavirus, and they have the option to opt out. Every player has the option to opt out no matter where during the season. We saw Lorenzo Cain about a week ago opt out of the season, and I expect to obviously see a couple more players opt out, but the guys who want to play, the guys who think it's safe enough for them to play, are going to play. And if players don't play, there's enough minor leaguers to fill that up. So the MLB clearly foresaw the coronavirus coming into the league, and they did something about it. The 60-man rosters. Obviously, I think the MLB could do a better job with testing, a little more testing. Once every other day, I don't think it's good enough. I think it's got to be once every day. I think there should be a mandatory mask-wearing thing. A lot of guys are not wearing masks, and that could be causing it, whether you're in the dugout, whether you're in the locker room, or whether, especially when you're with another team, wearing a mask could be really helpful in this situation. The MLB has to project better in their response to the coronavirus. It doesn't seem like the MLB is doing anything differently besides keeping fans out of the stadiums, which we all knew would happen. So MLB has to do a better job with that, but I do not think the season is going to stop because of the coronavirus. Obviously, there's thoughts of it going around, but I do think that we're seeing things improve. We see the Miami Marlins back on the field again, and other teams are going to be getting back on the field soon. We should be seeing that. They're making up games in 7-inning doubleheaders, And once that happens, I think the MLB season will be able to continue, and hopefully guys take their own necessary precautions to ensure the fact that the coronavirus doesn't spread like crazy across Major League Baseball. Now let's talk a little bit about Major League Baseball itself. First of all, there are teams that are really, really dominating this year, one of which is the New York Yankees. The Yankees notably have dominated the last couple of seasons, but this year really could be their year, as I talked about multiple times in previous podcasts. Look at how well this team is hitting right now. Just notably, two or three guys. DJ LeMahieu's hitting .412 with 14 singles, a double, and two home runs this year. Aaron Judge is hitting .314 with, I believe, six home runs. And then you're looking at a guy like Gio Urshela, who everyone thought was a one-year wonder last season. He's hitting .300 right now, nine RBIs. He's been absolutely dominant as well. And, I mean, a couple of guys are struggling on this team. But Giancarlo Stanton is another guy who everyone thought would be so unproductive this season. But he's actually been pretty decent, hitting .296 into the opening of this season. Two doubles, eight hits, and I believe it's two home runs as well. So he's been terrible. Or he hasn't been terrible, Giancarlo Stanton, excuse me. He's been pretty solid for the Yankees. The Yankees are 9-2 right now, and they keep clubbing the baseball. They look really good. The starting pitching is really filling in for them. So the Yankees this year might be their year. I thought maybe other teams with less skill than the Yankees would benefit from the shorter season, but now it's showing that the Yankees are really, really going to benefit from this shortened season. They're just on a hot streak right now, and all they have to do is literally stay on this hot streak to put themselves in a position of extreme competitiveness, to put themselves in a position where they can essentially compete for the World Series, which is something that they had in mind the entire offseason with their big acquisitions, especially and notably Gerrit Cole. Moving right along to other teams that are doing really well, obviously, look at the divisions, and there's a couple teams that are really strong at the top. Minnesota Twins are looking real good in the Central. They're 9-2 as well. The New York Yankees, obviously, I believe they're 8-1. Did I say 9-2? I think the Yankees are 8-1. The Oakland Athletics, obviously, 7-4, not bad. Colorado Rockies 8-2. No one expected Colorado to be ahead of the Los Angeles Dodgers, but the Rockies are doing really well. The offense is really hitting, and as I expected, the Rockies offense would turn a page and they would get better this year. I did not think it'd be enough to put them into first place a little over 2 weeks into the season. Chicago Cubs, another surprise. I thought it was real clear that the Cincinnati Reds would take over. Obviously, St. Louis Cardinals, with so many games being canceled, it puts them in a position where it's hard to compete for the first spot in the division, and maybe we'll see the Cardinals jump both those teams to end up at the top of the Central by the middle of the season once they start playing consistently. But right now, the Cubs are looking real hot, as well as the Atlanta Braves and the NL East. They look pretty good at 8-4 and a .667 winning percentage right now. So obviously, a couple of teams are really, really dominating this season. It looks pretty similar to what I would expect the regular standings to be, except for the fact that the Baltimore Orioles are in second place in the East. We do not expect that to stay. Obviously, the Orioles have had some games canceled, and now they're kind of playing them again. Miami Marlins, they're, I believe, 5-1. So obviously, they're in a good position in the NL East, but it doesn't mean anything because they're going to have to play many more games. It's interesting to see how this season's going to play out, because obviously a team like Colorado, if they stay consistent, could have a legitimate shot at winning the West, which is something no one predicted. I think everyone thinks it's the Dodgers, and I'm not saying the Dodgers aren't going to win it. I'm saying that the Colorado Rockies might be a better team than we thought they were in the shortened season. Moving on to Ohio starting pitching, which is another thing I mentioned in the introduction. Obviously, the Cleveland Indians are third placed in the American League Central Division, behind the Tigers by a game, I believe, and a couple of games behind the Minnesota Twins. The Indians have had a serious bright spot, though, and that has been their unreal starting pitching, especially in the name of Shane Bieber. He is a perfect winning percentage of 3-0. He has a .83 ERA, and the ERA plus is what I like to look at. 100 is league average for ERA. He's a .529, and other guys in this rotation are looking pretty dominant. Also, Zach Plesac, I believe, has only had two starts, but he's managed to pitch 15 innings in those starts. He's looking at a .246 ERA plus and a FIP of .267, so that's interesting. Aaron Civale as well, .119. He's 19 points above average in ERA plus. Carlos Carrasco has looked pretty solid this year. He's also 19 above ERA plus. The only guy with a negative with an ERA plus that's below average is Mike Clevinger with a 91, but he pitched very well in the most recent game that the Indians played, according to my watch, which is the Cincinnati Reds victory. They won in Cincinnati by a score of 2-0. Cesar Hernandez hit a single, and Mercado had a very nice slide to win the game for the Tribe. Indians have utilized six starters this year. Obviously, Adam Plutko has started one game. He's got a .153 ERA+, which has quickly developed into my favorite baseball statistic. The Indians starting rotation looks good, but I said Ohio starting pitching, and I did not say Cleveland Indians starting pitching in particular, which leads me to the next topic. The other Ohio team with solid starting pitching is the Cincinnati Reds. You look at the top of their rotation right now. Sonny Gray has been absolutely dominant with a .96 regular ERA and an ERA plus of 4.46. Trevor Bauer, who I thought was going to have a bad season. I thought his one good season was a fluke, and I thought he was going to be consistently bad into the distant future, but he's got a .68 ERA, which is the lowest on the team. He has pitched five innings less than Sonny Gray, but his ERA plus is 6.42, and obviously it's early. All these statistics are early, but the Ohio starting pitching has been really, really dominant. Luis Castillo, we all expected him to be very solid. He has pitched in two games. He's got an ERA of 4.50, and his ERA plus is 97, so he's below average. People didn't expect him to be that below average, but one thing that really stands out about the Cincinnati Reds rotation is Tyler Mahle. Tyler Mahle has pitched in two starts. He's got a 1.80 ERA. He's pitched 10 innings, so five in both games, I believe it was. He's struck out 10, and he's got an ERA plus of 2.43. Now, a lot of my friends tell me that Tyler Mahle could be a legitimate starting pitcher in the future. I've always been very low on Tyler Mahle. I don't see anything special about him. He's got about average stuff. He's got about average command. He doesn't show any flashes of something that could become brilliant, but this year he's showing differently, and the Reds, hoping to try and take that division from the Cubs, can really hope that this starting rotation continues to anchor them when that offense isn't doing its work. The Cincinnati offense, besides Nick Castellanos, who's been absolutely dominant and was one of the best players in the league, has been very quiet. Votto's been decently quiet. Eugenio Suarez especially has been quiet. Prospect Jesse Winker has been quiet as well. Nick Senzel hasn't been that great. Shogo Akiyama has been decent for them, but again, it's been that offense that hasn't really picked it up and that bullpen that has caused them a lot of issues. Raisel Iglesias, obviously. Look at these guys' ERA pluses. They only have one guy in their bullpen with an ERA plus above average. Samir Garrett, as expected, with a 1.89 ERA plus. Raisel Iglesias has done a terrible job. He's got a 6.23 ERA with a 73 ERA plus. So not a good job by the Cincinnati bullpen. But those two starting rotations, the one in Cleveland and the one in Cincinnati, have been very, very impressive, and it's going to be something to watch down the season, as these starting rotations are going to be the things that hopefully carry both of those teams, especially for the Indians. You see the starting pitching being literally the only thing that has carried them this season. Now let's talk about something a little more controversial, which I'm sure you guys all want to hear about. It's the Joe Kelly debacle. It's the Houston Astros debacle. To my count, I believe the Astros have been hit by 9 pitches. I did not go and check how many other teams have been hit by pitches and how much. I believe the Astros are leading the league, and that is because obviously they cheated. And I hate the Astros as much as any other guy. I think that what they did was despicable, and I think the Major League Baseball did a terrible job of punishing them. I think the MLB didn't give them a punishment at all. I think it was a weak punishment that honestly had really no purpose for the Houston Astros. And obviously you can hear the argument. So let's just go through the debacle quickly. You had Joe Kelly. He threw at Alex Bregman's head. He walked Alex Bregman, I believe he hit Alex Bregman. He threw twice at Alex Bregman. Alex Bregman got on first base. Then he threw a couple pickoff moves directly at Alex Bregman, which were stopped by the first baseman who was playing first base at the time, maybe Matt Beaty, but he blocked the throws that were going in to try and hit Bregman at first base. And obviously Bregman was complaining like he usually does because he fails to admit that he did anything wrong. So then a couple batters came up. He walked Gurriel, and in the next inning, he faced Carlos Correa and immediately went up and in at his head. He missed. It was a breaking ball by the grip. So obviously we don't know 100% that it was a pitch intended to hit him, but it went right up and in on Carlos Carrasco. He ended up striking him out, and he made a little whiny face at Carlos Correa, and the bench is cleared, and there was a little bit of talk between the two teams, and it kind of settled down. The MLB decided to give a punishment of 8-game suspension to Joe Kelly, which I believe is utterly ridiculous. He did not even hit a guy, and not a single Houston Astro got suspended for cheating the entire 2017 season. So you look at the Astros' punishment and you look at Kelly's punishment, it seems like they should be switched a little bit. Joe Kelly didn't even hit a guy and he got suspended for 8 games. Do I condone a guy trying to hit a guy in the head? No, I think it could injure a player. It's not a good idea to try and hit a baseball player in the head. It's not fun. I've been hit in the head by a baseball before. It hurts like crazy, and if it hits you in the wrong spot, it could damage you permanently, and it could potentially kill you if it hits you in the forehead or something like that. It's very, very dangerous. Do I condone pitchers hitting the Astros. I mean, pitchers are going to have their pride, and the Astros really cheated, and they really messed up the 2017 season. So I believe pitchers, especially on the Dodgers, even though Joe Kelly wasn't on the team in 2017, I don't think it matters. I think the entire MLB is mad at them. I do expect guys to hit them lower down, maybe in the waist or below the waist. I'm honestly okay with that. I think pitchers are going to do their vigilante justice in the way that they want to do it. I don't really care if they're hitting them below the waist. I do think it's wrong to throw at the head, but he didn't hit the head. There's no way he should be suspended for 8 games in a 60-game season. I believe it's like a 22-game suspension if you equate it to a 162-game season, which is nuts. It's way more than anyone gets for throwing at anyone ever, even if they do hit them. Joe Kelly does not deserve a suspension like this. It seems like the MLB favors the Astros, and obviously players are really upset about it. I expect to see the Astros get hit more, and I expect to see more beef like this happening between teams. Actually, last night I was watching, and Madison Bumgarner and a couple of other Arizona Diamondbacks pitchers hit a couple of Astros. And again, it's probably not fun to get hit, but the Astros really didn't get punished, so I see what the pitchers are doing. Do I condone hitting players? Probably not. Do I expect it? Yes. And do I hate to see it? Absolutely not. I don't hate to see guys hitting the Houston Astros. I mean, they cheated, and it's really awful that the MLB didn't punish them. And yeah, I'm just as mad about the Houston Astros as any other fan, and I kind of like to see it. I kind of like to see them getting hit, but I do not want to see one of their players die because someone is a little crazy and decides to hit him in the head. Joe Kelly is Joe Kelly, though. Let me just say that. He's a very wild pitcher. He's effectively wild. He gets outs by being wild, and no one actually knows where his pitches are going to go, so it's very tough to read him. And when he throws it in the strike zone, he's virtually unhittable, so he's a good reliever in that sense. So honestly, it could be that he just tried to throw a breaking ball and it went wild, but at the same time, maybe a suspension is in order. And if it's a suspension, it's definitely not an 8-game suspension. You shouldn't go up and in at a guy's head ever. He looked like he did that on Bregman. He went behind the back on Bregman. This is going to happen more. Pitchers are furious. I know Trevor Bauer talks about it a lot. I know a lot of the younger guys who are active on social media. A lot of the Miami Marlins actually are very active on social media. It's interesting to watch them. They've got some pretty solid opinions on what the MLB needs to do with the Astros. If I could punish the Astros, I would have first thing to do is put an asterisk next to their World Series win in 2017. I'd take away their rings. I don't know if they took away their rings already, but they didn't put an asterisk on it, which is bad enough. Houston needs to be punished extensively, more extensively. I don't think it's too late for the MLB to hand out their punishment. I think there needs to be some sort of petition or something done. It's not my job to incite a crowd of baseball fans against the Houston Astros. I think the MLB will do its thing. I hope the MLB gives them a little bit more of a punishment because, honestly, they got off the hook. First and second round draft picks this year and next year, that's all you're going to give up. It's honestly really sad. You have to fire a couple of guys. Not a single player on the Astros received even a suspension for what they did, and Joe Kelly gets 8 for not hitting anyone. Honestly, I think it's ridiculous. I'm not a fan of this. I really want to see justice being taken out, but I don't know if the best way to do it is to hit the Houston Astros in the head. I don't think it's a good idea. I think they instead have to go to the MLB and they have to say, hey, look, these guys cheated us out of a season, especially the Los Angeles Dodgers, a team that should have won the 2017 World Series. You go to the MLB and you say, hey, look, your punishment was weak. We're going to petition for this and that against the Astros. Don't make it outlandish. Don't make it the entire team is banned for the next 5 years or something like that. That's dumb. Give them a reasonable punishment and see if the MLB can work with it. I believe in the ability to negotiate a punishment that's better than the crappy punishment given out for the Houston Astros. That's what I have to say. It's been an interesting couple of weeks in the MLB. It's been an interesting couple of weeks for me. Hopefully, I'll try to make episodes once a week again. I'm sorry. It's been really, really crazy in my life. Please, guys, check out the website. Listen to the exclusive web content. Hopefully, we should be having more of that coming out in the future. If you want to support the channel, the World of Baseball podcast, you guys are more than welcome to. It's only 99 cents a month to support the World of Baseball podcast to allow me to continue to make great content for you. Thank you guys so much for listening. This is Bensy Gissert signing out. If you like what you're hearing from the World of Baseball podcast, please consider supporting. The link is in the podcast description. Thank you so much and have a good day.